Hello and welcome back to United Masterclass, a tactical podcast about Manchester United. I'm your host, Haider Abani, and I'm joined, as always, by Rob Blanchett. Rob, fantastic victory today. 2-0 Man United, goals by Dalot and Antony. After the pretty terrible last 10, 20 minutes midweek, where United lost both their two centre-back first-choice pairing, and obviously let two goals in and lost that lead. Today was really, really important. When you look at the results for Spurs and for Newcastle, United had to win. And it was a really thoroughly professional performance. And I was really happy to see the quality that United had going forward. So two goals and going into the Spurs game next week, where if United win, you'd say United could wrap up top four pretty easily in the last six or seven games. So I'm delighted. And we've got a lot of really positive things to speak about today.
Yes, pleasantly surprised, not just really with today's result or performance, but just pleasantly surprised that we're somehow third by 3 points. That's not something I kind of envisaged a few weeks ago when we were looking at the trends and the way Man United were playing and all these injuries starting to pile up. So today started with an injury, didn't it? Sabitzer went out the team, so you've lost another player. We don't know obviously how bad that is or whether it's a serious injury or not. But Manchester United did the job today. And I think what was really good, Haider, and we'll go into it and obviously some depth today, was that the players who were on the pitch took responsibility for the result. So your senior players did their jobs today and they kept going and they kept the chemistry there. And I think once they smelt a bit of blood with Forrest, they kept their foot on the gas. There wasn't really a spell where Forrest had, say, 10 minutes where you felt a bit jittery. You know, there was no like David De Gea, like history, kind of like hero ball from him today, was there? He didn't have to really save United. It was actually more about Man United's midfield and how they worked through it. So a really, really good result, and there's loads of good stuff to talk about today.
Absolutely. Guys, make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, give us a follow on at Man United MC and give Rob a follow on at @Rob_B. On today's show, we will break down, as usual, the starting lineups. So Ten Hag did some interesting things there. Antony, we'll talk about, he had a fantastic game, maybe his best game in the United shirt. Bruno and Eriksen ran the show today, both so pivotal to Manchester United and any success going forward this season. So we will talk about Bruno specifically. You know, he had a great performance today. And then the fullbacks as well, Wan-Bissaka and Dalot, both obviously predominantly right backs. Dalot played left back. And I thought it was quite interesting. Rob, I do want to address this as well. Just a comment here from Mawson saying, I had a meltdown with all the injuries and how it started in the warm-up. Just overjoyed with the win. Let's just quickly, before we go into this, let's talk about that midweek briefly for a couple of minutes. Because, I mean, you lose Lisandro, obviously, to that horror injury. Thank God it's not an Achilles, because we could, you know, we could be talking about something much more serious. He wouldn't be here at all for the beginning of next season. And maybe you're looking at, you know, into next year where he could have come back. But Achilles injury is also potentially career-ending. So we're really, really thankful that that's not the case. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Sorry, can you hear me now, Rob?
Don't know if you guys can hear me. Can you just put something in the comments if you can? I can see a few of you there in the live comments. Cheers. Thank you, Robbie. Hopefully Haider will jump back straight back in a second. So I think Haider's having some tech issues. So I will just take you straight through it with the first slide that we've got here anyway. So I think here he comes. Oh, is he dropped out again? Sorry about his tech issues here, guys. Sorry about this. So let's start with it anyway. So Man United here kind of played more of a 4-3-3 today. You saw the way it went with Bruno Fernandes. So everyone knows that I get quite hot on Bruno and I'm quite hard with him and that I'm always kind of on him about passing the ball and not giving it away. Well, what you saw today with Bruno Fernandes was the best version of Bruno. When Bruno plays the 10 or kind of advanced 8 with someone like Eriksen, it's so much easier, isn't it, to play football when you've got someone like Christian Eriksen there. So I think you can't underestimate today the influence that Eriksen had on the game coming off the bench. Obviously, he wasn't supposed to start today, but ended up starting for Sabitzer. And I think that gave Man United all the control they needed. It came really from Eriksen's play. Today, Eriksen had an 89% pass succession rate. Bruno was 10% less, but that's fine. I think, again, it's about the combination of the two. Can you hear me, Haydar?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay, very, very good. Yeah, apologies. Not sure what happened there. Apologies, right. Guys.
I'm just going straight into the formation, everything from there. So you catch up with me from there. So 4-3-3. So with Bruno playing that role today, you can see how well he links with Anthony Martial from there. And again, Martial's movement allows United to have that maybe front five where they can operate and all interchange. And as the game went on, it worked really well. And I think this is why we saw the best of Anthony today as well, because it was so fluid at the top end.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to sort of pick out from this selection as well, because I think what United had is they had a strong front three. Martial back in the lineup. He got 6 and Sancho got 6.2, but I actually don't think that reflects actually how they both played. I thought Jadon showed some really nice bits, especially in the second half. You can see that he's still trying to get into some rhythm, isn't he? He's still not fully there, but he's a street footballer. And what I like about him is, look, he's never going to go and gas past a man and beat a man. I think that's what we have to understand. I'm seeing a lot of people lose patience with Sancho, but when you have a look at the type of profile that he is, he's not going to do what Marcus Rashford does, for example. He's not going to take on a man that way. But what he will do, he'll link up play. He has really good sort of agility and his ability to turn on the ball, and he creates a little bit of half space. You saw that shot at the end where he was able to sort of feint and then turn in, and then he blasted over. But I think we're seeing some nice little bits from him. And Martial, he has great retention. He holds the ball up nicely. He's a very, very skillful player. And what it's allowed United to have in these last few games that he's come back in the last three games, and we didn't see from Weghorst, for example, is that United now have a bit more of a focal point, which is crazy to think because obviously Weghorst is such a big player. But they have retention in that final third. And that's so, so important. All the top sides have that. So I liked what I saw from the front three today. You mentioned Eriksen, but I thought, I don't want to be negative on this because it's a great victory, but Harry Maguire was a little bit of an issue early on. I think he unsettles the team. He unsettled the team today, and I think that against a better side could have been punished. And I think that's a little bit of a worry, but what can Ten Hag really do? We've lost our first choice centre-back pairing. My thing about Maguire is that you can tell that obviously he's not 100% confident in his ability, and I think that he's almost every single game either making a mistake or a silly foul, and he's putting himself under pressure in the game, because if he's got a yellow card, he's going to struggle obviously to maintain that aggression throughout the game. And I think going forward that Lindelof had a really good game. I thought today he was solid. He was assured. I know Maguire got a little bit better, but Maguire is a little bit of a liability. He worries me. So going forward, when Luke Shaw's back, I'd like to see Shaw at left centre back and Lindelof at that right centre back position. And we haven't really spoken much about Casemiro in the game, to be honest. I mean, Gary Neville mentioned him a few times, but he was quietly very, very good today. He didn't do anything spectacular, but he really marshaled and he screened, and he it's great to have him back. And that's almost what you want from your number six, right? Someone who's you want a performance from him to be 7 out of 10 every single week, does all the dirty work. And you know, I think that helped Maguire and Lindelof anyway as a pairing, because to have someone like Casemiro, world-class defensive midfielder in front of you, I mean, it always makes your job easier. But yeah, I think Maguire was the only one today where I was just like a little bit 2-3 minutes in, he's getting a yellow card, getting too tight and getting all over Awoniyi. And then throughout the game as well, I thought we were quite lucky not to actually concede a penalty from that. I know it was a handball and it wasn't given, they were checked, but you've seen them given. So yeah, if there was maybe a blemish on the result and performance today, and I'm doing forward looking here, I don't think Harry Maguire's in my starting pairing, even with Varane and Martinez out.
Well, I'm not going there. I'm not going where you just went, because at the end of the day, you've just lost Martinez and you've just lost Varane. You haven't really got any choice. You're going to be playing probably Maguire or Lindelof. I think Lindelof was better than Maguire today, but I don't think that Maguire threw anything of the performance off. Like you were just saying there, is there any bit of it that you can kind of pick holes in looking forward-looking? Well, all you can really say to Harry Maguire is that all these minutes that he's going to get now make the use of them. Like, if you want to say at Man United, you're going to have to be good, aren't you? Harry Maguire hasn't been good for a long time. So I'm with you on the performance, but I'm not going to talk about Harry Maguire today. We just beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. We're probably one of our best in-possession performances of the season. Man United actually stroking the ball around through midfield and coming out from the back, full-backs inverting, which we will talk about a lot today, because I think, again, when you look at Dalot playing on the left side, which he has played in the past, but Wan-Bissaka now really being the solid right-back. You know, we've had a big discussions about right-back all season long, about whether Wan-Bissaka can do it. Tick that box. I think we all think Wan-Bissaka can now do it, inverting beautifully, turning into a central midfielder, going all Cancelo on us. So, of course, Cancelo doesn't even do it at Man City anymore, does he? So, you know, he's now another football club. But I think when you see this with Man United, today what was really good, Haydar, in this kind of atmosphere where Nottingham Forest are kind of fighting for their lives, Man United saw the weakness in midfield and picked on it. And this is something we've not been very good at for many years. We've not been able to kind of take weaknesses and then turn them into our strengths. So this is why when I've talked about Bruno playing the 6-8, I've been a bit lower on Bruno, because I'd rather see Bruno as a 10. So today we saw Bruno play the dual 8 really with Eriksen. I just see there James in one of his comments there.
Oh, it's a great Eriksen, comment. I love
you know, the great showman, like the ringmaster. And that's exactly how I see it, exactly as that comment reads out there from James. Because Eriksen allows everyone to just go and do their thing, because Eriksen just doesn't mess around. Every time he gets the ball, it's either a really accurate short pass or just a beautiful longer pass to feet, and you keep the ball. And Eriksen is really like Bruno won man of the match today, and I know why he won it, and I don't disagree with the reasons for it. But Eriksen was my man of the match today, because Eriksen allows Bruno to be Bruno. Eriksen allows Sancho to be better. Eriksen allows Antony to get into the correct positions and he can run at people. This is what it's all about. You mentioned Casemiro today. I thought Casemiro had a quiet game. Didn't really have to protect the defence much at all, did he? But you just have to fill in the gaps at times. And Casemiro just lets Eriksen go and run the show. So that's why that 4-1-5 works. So United have gone away from the press a little bit in the last few weeks. We're now a more conventional 4-3-3. But what it means is that Man United are better on the ball. And hopefully, Haydar, this is something we will see developed now, I think, through pre-season into next season. Because United need to get a whole lot better on the ball if they say want to be Arsenal Mark II and challenge for the title.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And another comment here from James saying, that's because we have a manager now that sees deficiencies in teams and can pick them apart. Absolutely. I think, you know, I'm very confident. When we lost our centre-back pairing, I was... Obviously, it's going to be a struggle. We're playing Brighton in the Cup, and they're a really very good side in possession, in and out of possession. You know, they're fantastic. De Zerbi's done a wonderful job there to almost elevate at what Potter did there. You know, I think De Zerbi's taking them to the next level. So next week's going to be difficult in the Cup. And then you look at, you know, obviously going into the games this season as well, perhaps Man United won't be as progressive from the back without someone like Martinez. But I have confidence that what Ten Hag can do is he can see what the players that he's got, the profiles, the pieces, and then he will basically mold that around the game plan, around what the opposition are doing, where we can exploit them. And I think that's the sign of a top tactician. I don't want him to stray away from obviously his philosophy, and I wouldn't expect any top manager to do that, whether it's Sir Alex, whether it's Pep, you know, Ten Hag, Arteta, whatever. But I have confidence for the first time in years that although we've lost key players, even Marcus isn't playing, for example. We haven't even spoken about Marcus today. You know, United's top scorer, but United comfortably won today. Other players have to step up. And I'm confident that Ten Hag will know what to do. And if we lose and we get knocked out of the Europa and stuff, we're on the upward trajectory. So I think that's the positive here. So I think, you know, there's no need for overreactions when certain things happen. But let's actually have a look now as well, Rob, at the match stats quickly. You can see United had total domination here, you know, 22 shots and for United and 6 for Forest. Anything here that stands out to you? I think what was most positive for me is actually that Forest hardly had a sniff. You know, there was one chance where Dalot, for some reason, played it across and Owenoye had a shot. But apart from that, to be honest, there was nothing really to worry about. And that was what was nice. United were in control. Maybe in corners, we were a little bit... a little bit shaky at the beginning, but United controlled this game from start to finish and deservedly got the 3 points.
Yeah, look, Forest are very championship, aren't they? And that's probably where they'll be next season. They look like a championship team, even though they've bought 35 players or whatever it is. But you could see, yes, from set pieces, from corners, they were swinging it under De Gea. We know what De Gea's weaknesses are. We know that in the middle, that especially we said about Maguire and Lindelof, they can be a little bit static when they're attacking the ball. But that was it. That was all really Forest had. And I think as when the game was 1-0, that was maybe where there was a bit of a worry, because you think, right, they might get that one chance and score a goal. However, I think in open play, there was no real comparison. I think Man United on the ball were as good as they've been for many, many weeks. And I think we've actually saw that as well, like with the Sevilla match in the first half, or say even the first 30 minutes, not even the whole half, Man United looked really good in terms of their possession and how slick they were at times, not losing the ball. Again, I think this is the influence of someone like Eriksen just being around the team again. You know, you just got someone who can play proper football. And I don't want to insult other players, but this is why you've got Fred coming off the bench now with 10 minutes to go and not starting matches with Fred. That's just the way it goes. You need more ball players. So that's where United will go in the future. But I think when you look at the numbers here, 22 shots in this game for an away match, that's what tells me the story here for Man United, is that United are looking to win the game. It might feel like it was only 2-0, because this could have been 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, even 6-0. United had plenty of kind of life in the opposite penalty box, but it doesn't matter. And I'm going to keep saying this out to the end of the season, Haydar. Performances don't matter now. Results matter. If you win every game 2-0 to the end of the season, hey, Man United come third and we're all happy, aren't we? And then you see what happens in the cup competitions. So you did just mention it there. I'm not that I'm now low on the cups, but I'm not as bothered, because I'm bothered about being in the top four, because being in the Champions League next year is what this team needs. The team needs to be developed into the Champions League next year. You've won one cup, that's in your pocket. Now you can kind of have a little bit of a free hit on those others. Do you know what I mean? You can kind of just go after them and just try and keep players fit. I think this is going to be the story of the next 2, 3, 4 weeks about, can Man United keep the ball better, Haydar, which means your players run less, and that means you might get less injuries. And I think that's part of the problem. United have done a lot of running this year, and that's why we've been picking up these injuries now the last few weeks.
I'd have to disagree on the cups, because I think now you're in the quarterfinal of one, and you're in the semi-final of another. Like, if you were, let's say we weren't even that close to the final now. I understand what you're trying to say. Priority still is to get top four, Champions League. But like, we're in the business end now, so like, no, I'd be pretty disappointed if we didn't win the Europa League. Looking at the sides left in the tournament. FA Cup, City are in it still. So, you know, if we lose and we lose to Brighton, that's actually not as much a problem for me. But Europa League, it's a European Cup, and these players they've won one trophy. They need to keep on getting that taste of winning. That's really, really important because there's been 6 years or so before we won the cup, obviously, the Carabao against Newcastle. So I completely understand. Look, priority is top four. And I think we shouldn't be looking at fourth. We should be looking at third. And that's what we should be securing. But listen, we win the European Cup. Even if it's Europa, it's still a European Cup. There's only two, three European Cups to win. We're not really counting the Conference League. So I think it's important, to be honest with you, that we win as much as we can, to be honest.
Of course, I hate that. I want to win every game, like every game, every week. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, if you want to win every match, it's like that's how it goes, isn't it? Like, I want to win the Cup competitions, but if we're not going to win the Cup competitions for whatever reason, I'm not going to cry about it. So you kind of gave it away against Sevilla, didn't you? It's 2-2 now in that game. You should still probably go there and get the result you want, but you're now dealing with multiple first-team injuries, Haydar. This is the angle I'm coming from, yeah? So it's all very well us like having a good day at Nottingham Forest. This is Nottingham Forest, a championship club. So we're gonna do the show and talk about the good things. But I think also maybe not expectations, like we would like to win these cup competitions, but what is important now is top four. If you do nothing else, you get knocked out against Sevilla, knocked out against Brighton, those things do not really matter in your development. They don't. You might win another trophy. It goes and sit in your trophy cabinet at Old Trafford. It doesn't make you better next year. What makes you better next year is being in the Champions League. So that's where I'm coming from on it. I'm not disagreeing with you on that at all. I'm just saying those are not really the priorities now. And I think Erik ten Hag said it before the game. He talked about getting in the top four. And he said, to me, that's a trophy. That was what the words he used. And I look at that, that's how I feel. That is a trophy. If you get in the top four this year for a team that struggled to get in the top four for 10 years, like Man United, you're going in the right direction. You've got your League Cup, you know, your little kind of bus tour and all of that. And there's your bit of silverware and people can get happy about that. Cool. But I think top four is where you need to be, because then you can go and buy players who want to play in the Champions League.
No, it's definitely important. But I think we'll have to disagree. I think I really want to win the Europa. Not as that bothered about FA Cup, but Europa.
It's all right.
Definitely
I'd
want
like
to
win it. I'd like to win it. I'm not going to say no to it, but we lose and I'm not going to cry about it either.
Rob, let's just quickly touch on this before we break into talking about Antony. But you can see here that United created a high number of chances relative to possession, dominated possession. It was really nice to see some of the passing through midfield. And the key to that really is Christian Eriksen. And having Bruno further forward and doing what he does really well. I mean, there's a comment here from Mawson saying, this is what Roy Keane just said on Sky Sports. I really think Bruno is a brilliant player. He's a striker's dream. Not many people can play the pass he does. In that final third, some of the passes and the vision and the weight of ball is absolutely world class. And that's what he's good at. So that's where we want to see him. And look, he's had to slot further back. And he said this himself, that Casemiro out, he's had to play a bit deeper. And he has some good performances recently as well on that. But he's also had not so good ones. But we want to see Bruno further forward with Eriksen or a player similar to Eriksen's ilk in behind him, and let Bruno do what he's really good at. And he always links up really well with Martial. We saw that under Oli as well. That was a nice little relationship they had. So having a look here, sort of attacking down the right side as well. So Antony was very heavily involved, dominating possession, favouring short passes, favouring through balls as well. So attacking down the right-hand side, let's go into Antony here. So you can see his heat map. I mean, just have a look at the heat map. Let's talk about that a little bit. He was, he was so effective. And we were talking off air, weren't we? We were saying that one of the big things about Antony, he can frustrate. He can sometimes be very one-dimensional. But I think the biggest thing that I like about Antony is his mentality. Like, even if he's having a bad game, he's still going to go and have a shot. He's still going to get involved. That's huge, because United have had players that have hidden in the past.
Yeah, look, I think with Antony, again, I think we have quoted this a lot on the show and other places, is that I think a lot of the bluster around his performances and all have been massively overhyped about that he's not very good and all of this. Yeah, he might not be world-class yet, but you can see as a young player, he gives you a lot of value on that right hand side, both off the ball and on it. So this is it now. Like, I think what you saw today was that we're starting to see that he's got more value on the ball. Yeah. So in the rest of the season, where United have had that press and it's been that 4-1-5, he's been integral to that, pushing that side of the press up and being tight on a fullback or tight on a centre back. He wasn't really doing that today. What he was doing today was getting the ball and running with it and dribbling with it. And that's why that heat map is so kind of so slanted on that side to the right, kind of coming from a winger's position, but not going so wide that he's kind of hamstringing himself, that he has to then come across. He's actually running at players and giving himself a better angle to get towards the box. So I think that's all part of learning. And again, I think that a lot of people jumped down his throat this year and, criticised him. I don't find him frustrating. I don't know if it's just me. Like, I look at what he does. If you know what he is as a footballer, then what are you expecting? he's gonna
Rob,
be
the
kind of
problem
guy,
is though, people don't know what he is, and so they don't understand. Actually, I think a lot of people actually don't understand what Ten Hag expects from his wingers, because they're not gonna do what Saka does, for example, for Arsenal, because Ten Hag asks his wingers to play in a different way. Like, what Antony will be is he won't hug the touchline, but what he will do is that he will almost sit in that channel and he'll be creative. He's a playmaker, I think, anyway, when he's on the ball. And I think, obviously we've seen him do some nice things, and sometimes we want to see him beat a man and go on the outside. And I think he does need to vary a little bit, but for what he's being asked to do by Ten Hag, he's doing exactly what his manager's asked him to do. So I think that's where maybe people... I don't think we're seeing optimal Antony, and because we haven't got an optimal system yet, we haven't got all the pieces. I think when you get all the pieces, I think you'll see a player which will be much more effective. But I think, considering this is his first season, I think he's had a very good season with all things considered. Unfortunately, because he's 90 million price tagged, that's what a lot of people are judging him on, I think, rather than what they're seeing with their eyes.
And that's why it's pointless looking at price tags. So what do price tags mean? It's just bankrolling, and it's what the club pay. So I get that fans want value and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go back to the point that you just said about playmaking and stuff. I think what we've seen with Antony, what the metrics show, and kind of digging into him in the last week or two, is that he's not been really a playmaker. What does he do? He's quite direct around the box, wants to shoot, doesn't he? He kind of wants to be a goal scorer. What did you see today? It was different. Today he was a playmaker. He was coming inside And when you looked at Delo's goal, that all comes through him, isn't it? That comes from him running inside, seeing that pass open and playing it between the defence. So that is playmaking. And that's what he hasn't done this year. So what we need to see more from Anthony is that. If he does that, adds that to his game, and still has that lovely left foot banana shot into the top corner, which he obviously wants to do 10 times a game, that's it. Then you've got a much more creative player from the wider areas. And you could say the same for about Sancho on the other side. So Sancho slowly but surely, incrementally improving. I think we saw him do the 90 minutes today, which I think is encouraging. But decision-making not quite there, but you see it's getting better. It's getting better. And I think it's the same with Anthony. Now, we're coming towards the end of the season. Ironically, they both might hit form right at the wrong time in the season. Like, we might run out of games, Haydar, and it could be the end. And you come third or fourth. You're happy with that, with your League Cup. You might get to another final. You might win another trophy. And these boys might obviously have big kind of influences on that. But you might see the best out of them next year now. And I'm all right with that. Again, I think with Anthony, you'll develop him. Same with Jadon Sancho. I think with Sancho, it's less. I think with Anthony, it feels more assured. And what Anthony's doing, his work, feels more assured. With Jadon, it's like, is he going to slip? Is he going to get better? Is it, you know, how is he going to get around it? Now with Marcus being out of the picture, then obviously Jaden's going to play off the left. That's just the way it's going to go. So he's going to get a chance now. I think we'll know by the end of the season whether he's ready to kind of take the next step next year.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I haven't given up on him yet. Sometimes we do need to see more, but there's off-field things that have happened, which Ten Hag's obviously alluded to as well. And I think that maybe fans just need to take that into consideration with Jadon Sancho. But I'm seeing improvements. I'm seeing some nice things. I'd like to see more, but look, let's just see where we are. And look, let's just give him time, because as long as the team are winning and he's improving, even if it's incremental, then that's great as well. And I think Ten Hag is a fan of him. He knows what quality he has.
The difficulty of it is, Haydar, is that when Marcus Rashford is available, Marcus plays. That's it. Because Marcus is just way above Jadon at the moment. So I think that's the problem. Like, in this little period now where he can play lots of games and lots of minutes, then you're going to get a better version of Jadon Sancho, because he's going to have to play. It's kind of just about Harry Maguire. It's kind of a similar thing. If Maguire had played 30 games this year, I guarantee you he'd have been better today than what we saw. Just what it is, isn't it? You play games, you're better. So I think with Jadon now, he needs to take this opportunity with Marcus out of the team. We obviously don't know how long that will be. I get a feeling with Marcus, it might be a few more weeks than people are letting on. I think it might be 6 weeks. We'll see. Might even get to right towards the end of the season. And then Jadon might be so informed that you're like, well, Marcus, you're coming off the bench for a little bit. Or Marcus, you're going to play centre forward. That might be an option there then.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Rob, let's move on to Bruno. So we spoke about him a little bit at the beginning of the show. Great performance, 9.1 on SofaScore. He absolutely ran the game with Christian Eriksen. United look a much better side. There's a nice balance to midfield with Casemiro, Eriksen and Bruno. There's a beautiful balance. And United play the best football and have played the best football in those three. You know, when United were in the so-called title race, you know, in January. That's when those three were pairing, United were dominating games. And I think what we missed today, which we haven't seen, in my opinion, a long time, and it's because we've seen Bruno play deeper with the fact that Casemiro has been out and Eriksen has been out, is that because United have lacked progression in midfield and someone to basically play it through to Bruno in the higher positions, we've seen Bruno drop deeper. But you see, when Bruno gets further forward, he has more shots. Obviously, you can see that he had 5 shots, creating big chances as well, and just putting the ball into box, the amount of balls he put into the box. It's funny because we spoke about it last year, didn't you? You said, you know, he might play on the right-hand side. He put in some lovely balls from that right-hand side going across. And I think maybe Jadon could have got his foot on the end of it, or at least had a shot instead of taking it in that first half and trying to play it back to Eriksen. What you see with Bruno Fernandes is you just see a creative, like almost a genius. He's just creating and creating and creating and creating. Can he lose the ball? Yes. Is his passing accuracy low at times? Yes, you can see 79%, but he was so influential today. And I think Forrest gave him a lot of space, so it did make it easy for him. You still got to execute those passes. So this is where I want to see him. This is where you want to see him. I'm still a huge fan of him. I think he's a world-class number 10, personally. Some people might not agree with that, but I think he is. And I think United are a better side when they have him playing further, closer to goal. And I like the link-up between him and Martial. He did some nice link-up as well with Anthony. And United are they're starting to build understanding. You have to remember we're not even a year into Ten Hag's project, and I think maybe you know we're almost further along than we should be when you look at the likes of Arteta. You know, Arsenal were eighth, fifth, you know, in the first 3 years. Now they're challenging for the title. Obviously, he's built the squad very, very nicely there. So I just think, you know, sometimes taking a step back and having a look at where we are and what Ten Hag's done. And I think, you know, Bruno's been a big part of that this year.
Yeah, and look, with Bruno, everyone knows I've been hard on Bruno. But I think ultimately, when you look at this, like today, if Sabitz had not been injured, Bruno wouldn't have played that role today. He just wouldn't have done. He'd have played the deeper role. So I want to see Bruno play higher up the pitch. What I would like to know is why the manager doesn't like to always see him play higher up the pitch. I don't know. It's not. I don't know. Like, you don't know. You think it's a world-class number 10.
What is your view on Savitzer? Because obviously, like, Savitzer got two goals midweek, and he's looked better further forward. Like, what is your view on that? I think purely because I think the fact is that actually the reason why he's been playing deep, obviously, Eriksen hasn't been here. And I think Ten Hag's just figured out that actually Bruno's better deeper than Savitzer is. And so it's almost a trade-off. So Bruno's better number 10 than Savitzer overall. But for the team, if Bruno's further back, Savitzer is better as a 10. Does that kind of make sense instead of as an 8?
Yeah, like, look, I think it's the whole Rubik's Cube of why you pick players in certain positions. And like this is the whole kind of positionless view of football now, I think, in the modern game. So it's when you look at what a player gives you. Yeah, of course, it's like saying, listen,
yeah, sorry, Rob.
Can you hear me again now?
Yeah. So you just muted for some reason there. Yeah.
I've lost you now. Oh, no. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Right, I'll keep talking. I can't hear you at all.
Yeah.
Are you on mute? Hey, is it gone to mute? He's gone off again. So, all right. Yeah, let me talk a little bit about Bruno and we'll do it that way. So I think today, I think when you look at Bruno and where he would have played today and would have played a lot deeper and Sabitzer would have played forward, I think the reason for that is that Sabitzer is a real driving number 10. So Sabitzer kind of gives you what Weghorst gives you when he's in the team. And that's someone that runs in a straight line towards the goalkeeper or the centre-backs. And Sabitzer then allows you to kind of get that third man run. So if you can pick him up and pick that run up from deep, you've got someone making that run. Now, Bruno doesn't ever make that run. Eriksen never makes that run when they're 10s. They're creatives. They want to sit off. They're kind of more traditional trequaristas. You know, they want the ball at feet and they want to play the pass. I think this is why he played Sabitzer there and played him, and it worked so well, obviously, against Sevilla, is that Sabitzer is going to get in and around the box. When you look at his metrics from the Bundesliga, he's so good with his XGs and XAs around the box with the ball at feet. So that's why Sabitzer, I think, is not favoured to be the 10, but he's a better 10 if you want to drive the ball that way and if you want to press that way. And if you haven't got Weghorst in your team, you need the 10 to do it because the 9 doesn't do it as much. So today you got Martial, you'd have had Sabitzer behind him, and you'd have seen what happened at Sevilla. You'd have those two kind of dovetailing, the 10 going across from the 9 maybe going wide to set a trap, and that's how they would have done it. Then Sabitzer's gone. So what did United do? They went to a more 4-3-3, 2-8s, and they kind of ran the game by proxy. So it was like, let's see where the space is and let's work around it that way. And Eriksen was so good at that. Eriksen today got the ball, head up. Bruno's 5 yards from me. I'll give it to Bruno there. No one's near Bruno. Now Bruno give it back to me. And now I'm going to Jaden. So that's proper football. That's what we see Man City do, isn't it? City do that all the time. Arsenal now do that. So that's where Man United have to be. I don't think Sabitzer is your long-term solution in that part of the park. But I would definitely bring him to the club because he gives you a kind of midfielder that can do 3 or 4 different things at a decent level. I would say that he's definitely a better number 10 than, say, Fred could be or McTominay. So there's an upgrade there already just in Sabitzer. We just need to see, obviously, what the injury is today. Again, with someone like him, a high-octane player, he's going to pick up knocks now and then.
Can you hear me now, Rob? All good? No.
I can't hear you, Haydar, at all. Oh, I think Hayden's having some real tech issues. So we've got Christian Eriksen still up on screen here. So I'll just round off with Christian Eriksen. Hopefully Hayden can rejoin us. But I think with Eriksen, you look at today, 89% success rate, pass success rate from a central midfielder. So he's right in the middle of the pitch. He's kind of the most exposed. There's no real pockets to go. He's got to go and find that space. I think this is why Bruno was so good today. So this is not trying to take anything away from Bruno. I know people will say that to me in the comments and stuff. They'll be like, oh, you don't like Bruno. Not at all. It's not about that. It's just that Eriksen allows Bruno to go and be the best version of himself. Then Bruno can be on the edge of the box. And Haydar did mention it earlier on, and I totally agree. I think Anthony Martial allows Bruno to be Bruno as well. So those three or four players you see, and we've missed them for a while, haven't we? When you think about the injuries, Christian Eriksen being out of the team for such a long period of time, we had Casemiro out of the team, and people were saying Casemiro is our most important player. And I was saying, not to be contrary, I was saying, well, I think Eriksen is, because Eriksen's a guy that lets you keep the ball. It's no surprise to me that Man United now, just in his last few games, just slowly but surely getting better on the ball. We do know that Ten Hag would like to be that kind of team. He'd like United to be much better in possession, to be able to control games a bit more, and still do the counter-press, and not only have the counter-press to do. Haydar, are you back?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, I still can't hear you. I don't know. Can anyone else hear Haydar, if you can say? Or you can say we can hear Haydar. Oh, I can't hear him, but you can hear Haydar. No. I'll keep talking. I think we'll probably have to wrap it soon, Haydar, because we're almost having all these tech issues.
Yeah.
I'm just going to end my bit here. If you can hear me. Can you hear me all right, Haydar? Right, okay, yeah. Cool. I'm going to end it on Aaron Wan-Bissaka, just because we were talking about Aaron off camera and wanted to just give him his flowers as well. I think the thing is, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and what you saw today, is that the fact that he's inverting into midfield as well, making up an extra body, that also helps Bruno and Eriksen. It's just another body there that you can pass to and make the short ball to. So United had that control today. And let's be honest, for the season gone past, not always had that control. We've had to rely on the counter press a lot more. So we've got Aaron's metrics up here. I was saying to Haydar off air here, when you look at his pass accuracy, 88% from Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I think we're all very happy with that, aren't we? Like, that's way above maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And when you look at his heat map, drifting and bleeding into the centre of the pitch, making up an extra body. Again, something that we never, ever envisaged that Wan-Bissaka could have done not so long ago. So, see, there's lots of bits of United are working. These bits that are kind of like 50-50s. I know that's why I didn't want to talk about Maguire today, because Maguire is a 50-50. You might get a good performance, you might get a bad performance. And, you know, he did get a yellow card after 3 minutes today. But someone like Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who I think at the start of the season and even in, say, the January transfer window, most Man United fans would have said, sell him, get rid of him. I think now we've got a real player. I think you look at Aaron Wan-Bissaka, he's starting to look like a £50 million fullback. Maybe more like 40 or 30, but at least someone who's viable that you can play. And now, Delo, one good performance on the left and the goal, he also inverts from that side. You might have stumbled on something here with the injuries, and this is how it works. So I think we all would like to see Luke Shaw now probably play left centre-back, which might mean that you can go with Lindelof as the right-hand side. You still then have a kind of shortage of pace on that right in that channel. But it does mean that there are bits that are starting to work now that maybe weren't working so not so long ago.
Absolutely. And I know Rob can't hear me. It's very strange. You guys can hear both of us, but Rob can't hear me. But I'm going to read out this comment here from James saying, fair play to Wan-Bissaka. He looked confident, never gets flustered, and maybe he's not a busted flush. I had written him off. I think a lot of us had written him off as well. But I think his performance was really strong, and he's given Ten Hag another option. So look, guys, thank you again for joining us. As you know, you can always follow us on @MayUnitedMC and Rob on @Rob_B. Unfortunately, we can't hear each other for some reason. We're having difficulties in terms of technical issues. So make sure that you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. A huge victory for Erik Ten Hag and his men, and we will see you all next time.